I've got a question for you. How many of you have ever been to the drive-in movie theater? Hands up. There's a few of you, okay? So for those of you who've never been, let me tell you what happens. You drive up to like the gatehouse, you pay your money, and then everyone stays in the car. And then you go into this field, and you find your spot, and you try and find the best spot where you can see this huge screen. And you parked there. When Pam and I were dating, we went to a few drive-in movies, and so we would stay in our car in the front seats and watch the movie through our windshield. When our kids came along, we changed it up a little bit. We would take our van in, and instead of pulling in front ways, we'd turn it around and pull in backwards, lift the tailgate, and the kids would sit on the back with blankets, and Pam and I would sit, much like you, on our camping chairs just in front of them, watch the movie. How many of you have ever stayed for the second movie at a drive-in? There's a few of you. Yeah. Well, when our kids got old enough, the first time we went there, we stayed. They were excited. They were like, wow, we get to see two movies. And Mom and Pam and I were going, okay, we get to see two movies. And so we were there. And by the end of the second movie, it was a little chilly because it was like 12:30 at night, right? And so we bundled everyone back in, got everyone in the car, got them all seatbelted in. I got into the car, got my keys out, put in the ignition, turned it, and guess what happened? Nothing happened. And in that moment, I had this flashback. You see, in the intermission between the two movies, people got out of their cars, they went to get more popcorn and drinks, use the facilities, but lots of people started up their cars and let them run for a while. I didn't. My battery was dead. My car would not run. So what do you do when a battery is dead, right? We throw it out usually. When something no longer fulfills its purpose, it isn't very useful to us, is it? We usually get rid of it. The battery is supposed to be that source of power for your car, that source of power that will start your car up and let you drive away. But as soon as it stops working, your car stops working and can't fulfill the purpose that you had for your car. Now, what if we start to feel that way about life? Right? We're happy, excited about life, but then stuff happens and we're not so excited about life. Maybe you get a sickness that goes on for a long time and you just always feel bad. Or maybe you have had a dream and you work hard at that dream and you try and try and try, but you never actually get that dream. Or maybe someone you love, someone close to you, passes away, and all of a sudden your world goes upside down. You see, oftentimes we spend a lot of time thinking about why are we here? What is the meaning to life? That big existential question. Kids, that's a great question to ask your parents what it means when you get home. Existential. That's the word of the day right there. Thing is we all have to answer that question at some point. And it shouldn't surprise you if you hear this morning that the Bible actually has a great deal to say about what life meaning is all about. And there's a story in John chapter 11 that tackles this question about purpose, about and different things about how to live. And in John chapter 11, we meet a guy named Lazarus who was one of Jesus' best friends. He was one of his best friends, but Lazarus gets sick and he actually ends up dying. And so Jesus comes after Lazarus had died. And he's there 4 days later. And so Jesus shows up and Martha, who's Lazarus' sister, comes to him. And when Jesus shows up, she says this, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus answered her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." You see, the Jews, like Christians, believe that even though we die, at the end, there's a resurrection. And then Jesus says some of his famous words. This is what he says to her in verse 25. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Over the summer, we've been looking at a lot of promises that the Bible tells us that God gives us. And this is the promise that I want to look at this morning, just for a couple of minutes. This promise that Jesus says, after he says, I'm the resurrection and the life, he says this, anyone who believes this or believes in him will what? Will live. Okay? So I want you to repeat after me this promise. I'm going to say it once, and then I'm going to count to three, and I want you all to yell this promise. Ready? So this is the promise. The one who believes in me will live. We can do this, right? It's not too hard. The one who believes in me will live. Ready? One, two, three. The one who believes in me will live. Awesome. Good job. Now, what Jesus is saying with this verse, if you've heard this verse before, maybe you've focused on the part where he says, I am the resurrection. And often Christians really love that part, and they should, because what Jesus is saying there is he has power over death. Meaning that even though we die, we don't have to fear death because he has conquered death. But the promise that he gives us is that if we believe in him, we will live. Not just after our death, but now, today. What Jesus is saying here is that he is the source for our life. Kids, can you tell me what this is? Anyone see this? Can you see it? I'm not asking the older people. I know their eyesight's a little. Kids, anyone, shout it out. Can you tell me what this is? It's a battery, but do you know what type of battery it is? A 9-volt battery. Now, how do you tell if a 9-volt battery works, if it has a charge? Does anyone know? There is a simple way to know if there's a charge in a 9-volt battery. You just stick out your tongue. And if there's a charge, you will get a little shock on your tongue. Like this one. So if you've never done that, kids, you can find me after the service and I'll let you try. One with the dead battery, one with the live battery, and you can see the difference, okay? No one has died that I know of from testing a 9-volt battery, okay? Just so you're aware of that. Here's the challenge that we have. When we live our life, the challenge is to try and figure out what's the right source to connect our life to. And we go through our life trying to pick the right source to connect our life to. And some of us, we try and do good at school. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to succeed at school, get good grades, and that will make us happy. That will bring us joy. That will bring us significance. Some of us, we pursue well-paying jobs, believing that if we have enough money, then we'll have a good life. Others of us try and find that special someone, that will make us happy, that someone who will love us, that we can love. Others of us try and have great families. And if all those things work out well, we think life is going really good. We really do. But then Jesus comes along and says, look, I am life. And when he says that, what he means is that if we don't have him, we actually will not experience the life he has designed us for. We will get distracted with a lot of other sources, but we will never actually live like he wants us to live. Even as Christians, we can sometimes forget this. We can forget that Jesus is the source of our life. Sometimes we can get distracted by making sure we go to church regularly or we're serving in the community, helping the needy people, and we get so focused on that that we forget to pursue Jesus daily. We forget to follow him every day of our life. And when we get distracted by other things other than Jesus, what it's like is moving from a battery that is live to a battery that is dead. And then we start wondering, oh, how come I don't have joy in my life? How come I don't feel like I'm actually living how God wants me to live? It's because we've taken our eyes off Jesus, who is the only source for life. Okay, kids, I need you to help me for a second. What do you think's under that cover thing there? A car? Shall we ask Mr. Shumi to see what exactly is under that cover? Where is Mr. Shumi? Come on up, Mr. Shumi. Why don't we take a peek under the cover here? I think you guys might be right. I know we tried to trick you, but it doesn't, I don't think we did. Let's see what's under there. Wow. That looks very cool, doesn't it? That is a beautiful car. I bet you it sounds really cool too. Shall we start it up to listen to it? Yeah, let's listen to it. Okay. I bet you it's loud. Who thinks it's loud? Okay, well, here we go. Ready? Let's count them down on three. Ready? One, two, three, start! What's going on? It's dead. What do you think's wrong with it? Oh, you think you left the lights on. What are we going to do? Well, you know what? Just like the 9-volt battery, I know how to test to see if a car battery is dead. Shall we try that? Yeah. Okay, for kids, I have had years and years of experience on testing this. This is not something you just go and do at home, okay? You have to have adult supervision. Shall we? Shall we take a look at the battery and see if it's... It's a good thing Mr. Shumi's a mechanic. He always has a wrench in his pocket. Okay, let's see this battery here. So one simple way to test a car battery to see if it actually works is you need jumper cables. Anyone have jumper cables? Oh, you might. Okay, let's go see. Let's see if you have jumper cables. Okay, car battery. Oh, that's heavy. Yep. I didn't do my weights this morning. Got to try that for a little bit. Okay, so kids, don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. Here, if you give it to me, if you want to connect them on. Oh yes, yeah, safety. That's good. I'm glad someone is worried for my safety. There we go. My wife is too, I think. Glad that someone's worried for my safety. Okay, ready? So here's how you test a battery to see if it's live or not. Nothing's happened. I think it's dead. What are we going to do? You know what, Steve? It's your lucky day. What? I actually brought to church with me another battery. What are the chances of that, eh? Well, let's see if this one works, okay? Kids, don't try this at home. We got that, right? Okay, repeat after me. I will not try this at home. Okay, here we go. Ready? Whoa! Does anyone see that? Do you see the sparks? Okay, I think that's live. How about we try that battery in your car? Okay. Who thinks the car is going to start now? Huh? Who thinks the car is going to start now? You see, cars can look great. They can have awesome tires, beautiful paint jobs, comfortable seats. But if the battery doesn't hold a charge, if the battery is dead, the car can't fulfill its purpose, can it? You can't get in it, start it up, and drive away. It just sits there. I had a Ford Bronco 2 that totally died. And it sat in our front yard for a couple of months until I had it towed away. So the kids, when they were younger, they were young, they got in it every day, they played, they pretend they were driving it. But it never went anywhere. It just stayed in the driveway because it was dead. It wouldn't work. And so you need, look, there's lights. I think your lights are on. Hey, there you go. Okay, so let's see. You want to start it up and let's see if it sounds like it's... Oh, horn works. Good. Oh, there we go. There we go. So when Jesus says he is the resurrection and the life, what he's saying is this: without Jesus, you are no more alive than a dead battery. That's what he's saying. So without Jesus, you can't live your life the way he has designed you to live. You can live your life chasing other sources to make you happy, other sources to make you joy, trying to find other sources that will give you purpose. But when Jesus says, I am life, what he is saying is that you will only find true life in him. At the end of our double movie marathon at the drive-in, we were stuck. We had nowhere to go. Fortunately for us, the drive-in obviously has people like me who, afterwards, I saw this guy walking around with a battery and jumper cables, and he was just going from car to car, the ones that didn't have their lights on, and saying, hey, do you need a jump? And I said, yes, I will take a jump. That guy saved us that night, right? He gave us a source of power to start our car. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, the one who believes in me will live, he is offering you the source of life. He is giving that as a free gift to you. Jesus asks the same question that he asked Martha to you today. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that he is the only source of life? And do you accept it? And if you don't, what's stopping you? I know probably none of you came here this morning thinking you'd have to think existentially and ponder the deep meanings of life. But when we come to Jesus, that's what he forces us to do oftentimes, is to challenge our notions about what life really is about. And he asks us the question when he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life, do you believe this? If you do, you will live.